Judges chapter 5, would you stand with me if you're physically able as we give honor to God's word as I read the first 7 verses to you. Judges chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Ahinoam, sang on that day, saying, 'When leaders lead in Israel, when people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens poured, the clouds also poured water, the mountains gushed before the Lord, this Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased, it ceased in Israel, until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel." Father, as we open up your word and just look at something special today, at Deborah, who declares, as we just read, she was a mother in and for the nation of Israel. God, on this Mother's Day, not only do I know the mothers want to be who you've created them to be, but all of us want to step into everything you have for us. So may we have ears to hear. May we have a heart that understands what your word wants to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, I want to just thank all you moms that are here today. Thank you for celebrating Mother's Day with us here at Calvary Chapel Vista. Now, I know that for Mother's Day, some it's hard. Some of you have never had a chance to be a mom, and that's hard. Some of you have recently lost a mom, and I can't even imagine how hard that is to walk through. And so for some of you, this day is tough. But what we do want to do is we just want to thank all of you ladies on this Mother's Day. Because here's what I know. Whether you've ever been a mom or not, whether you are just young and that's just not the time of life, God has used you and those mothering abilities that God put in you to take care of us at the church. And we just want to thank all of you ladies. So guys, would you help me in just thanking the women of the church first of all today? Thank you so much, women, for all you do. We at Calvary Vista recognize women. So yes, thank you women for being here. We know who you are. But of course, today's Mother's Day. So we also want to thank you moms. So if you are a mom, would you stand? And we just want to thank you and then remain standing and we're going to pray for you. All right. Awesome. All you moms, stand with us for just a minute. Remain standing. Let's just pray over these moms today. Father, we are so thankful for these moms. We're so thankful for the blessing they are to their families and to us, their church family. And we just pray that you would give them everything they need in this year that is ahead. Everything they need physically, everything they need spiritually. God, just bless them. Bless them with your presence. Bless them with the things that are on their hearts. God, would you care for these precious ladies who care so perfectly for us. So we just lift them up to you and we pray blessing upon them and abundance in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, moms, for being here today. I am super thankful for you because I came across this article in Forbes magazine speaking on what moms really deserve from a salary sense for all that they do. This is an article in Forbes. Some of you moms are like, now I want to subscribe to Forbes. But it said this, "Think you can put a price tag on motherhood? A yearly survey by salary.com called the Annual Mom's Salary Survey." I didn't know this existed. "Attempts to put a salary on the work of American mothers. First, they broke down motherly duties into the following 10 categories. Daycare center teacher, CEO, psychologist, cook, housekeeper, laundry machine operator, computer operator, facilities manager, janitor, and van driver. And they studied how many hours moms work in these categories and what a family would have to pay for outsourcing those duties. And according to the most recent, the 2026 survey, they determined the following. The average stay-at-home mom should make an annual salary of $382,000 a year, placed based on a 40-hour work week plus 54 hours of overtime every single week. So guys, I don't know what you spent on the Mother's Day present or where you're planning on taking her to lunch afterwards, but you might want to step up your game because we got a really good deal short of $384,000. Man, it's awesome. Moms, you work so hard. And speaking on Mother's Day here, I wanted us to consider Deborah for a few minutes this morning. What an amazing woman Deborah was. In a man's world, God raised her up to be a judge over Israel. Before there was ever a King Saul or a King David or a King Solomon, Israel had judges to lead them, to care for them, to take them in and out from battle. And in the days of Deborah, God used her, a woman, to set the nation of Israel free. And when she describes herself in her song, which is what Judges 5 is, the Song of Deborah, she describes herself there in verse 7 as a mother in Israel. That's what it says in the New King James. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. It says in the New Living version of that verse, there were few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. Deborah was a mother in Israel. Deborah was a mother for Israel. And either translation is fine because she was both. She was a mother with her own children living in the nation of Israel. Truly, she was a mother in Israel. And God raised her up to care for, to come alongside, to help the nation. So she was a mother for Israel. And why did God raise her up? Well, you Bible students know, because there was no other choice. She had to. The men of the day wanted nothing to do with the responsibility. The so-called leaders in Israel at the time would not lead. So Deborah, called by God, anointed by God, rose up to the occasion and became a mother for all of Israel out of pure necessity. And this being Mother's Day, I was thinking about how that pertains to all of you moms and how it really needs to pertain to every single one of us today. A pastor was teaching his kids about the attributes of God, some of the things that were, you know, pertinent to God. You know what I'm talking about. The fact that God is omniscient, meaning that he's all-knowing. That he's omnipresent, meaning God is everywhere. That he is omnipotent, meaning God is all-powerful. And as this kid was learning these things from his pastor dad, they were at a family gathering. And the kids were all talking about when grandma, you know, was younger and their mom in the home. Man, they couldn't get away with anything. It just seemed like she had eyes in the back of her head. And this little kid that was learning about God said, oh, I know why grandma's like that. I know why you couldn't get away with anything. Because she is momniscient. And I just love that. Momniscient, all-knowing. Momnipotent, all-powerful. Momnipresent, you are everywhere. You're everywhere. And why do you have to be momnipresent again? Because like Deborah, for most of you, there is no other choice. I found this on Facebook, so you know it's true. It said, a man came home from work and found his three children outside still in their pajamas playing in the mud with empty food boxes and wrappers strewn around the ground. The door of the wife's car was open, as was the front door to the house, and no sign of the dog. Walking in the door, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over. A throw rug was against the wall. In front of the room was a TV on loudly with a cartoon channel. The family room was strewn full of toys and various items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spill on the counter. The fridge door was wide open. Dog food was spilled on the floor. A broken glass lay under the table. A small pile of sand was by the back door. He quickly headed upstairs, stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried she might be ill or something worse. He was met with a small trickle of water as it made its way out of the bathroom. He peered inside and found wet towels and scummy soap and more toys strewn on the floor. Miles of toilet paper lay in a heap, and toothpaste had been smeared on the mirrors and the walls. As he rushed into the bedroom, he found his wife, perfectly fine, laying on the bed, reading a book. And she looked up at him and said, "How was your day, sweetie?" And he said, what happened here today? And she again smiled and she said, "You know, every day when you come home and you say, 'What in the world did you do all day?'" She said, "Today, I didn't do it." I didn't do it. I love it. You moms have to be momnipresent. There's no other choice. It reminds me of the husband that said, "Don't worry about the dishes, hon. It's Mother's Day. Don't you worry about those dishes. They will keep until tomorrow." And some of you aren't laughing because that's your reality. You have to be momnipresent because there is no other option. Now, the rest of you today, 2/3 of you today are saying, you know, men and women that have never been moms, you're like, "Why do I even come to church on Mother's Day? What are we going to, is this all we're going to talk about today? Yay, mom. Upside down. Wow. You know, is that the only point?" Not at all. Now is the point where everyone needs to listen up. Men, you need to wake up if I put you to sleep. Moms, I know it's your day, but I need your attention too. This study applies to every single one of us, men and women, young and old, single or married, every one of us. It applies to us because Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, in some ways, all of us are to act and be like a mother. Look at what he says. He says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." Paul says to this church he loves, "We were like mothers to you. We came in with this heart and this attitude. How can we care for you? How can we come alongside you? What do you need? How can we be a blessing?" And church, I think this is something, no matter male or female, young or old, all of us need to hear this. Sometimes we come to church and we think, well, that's what we employ you group of pastors for. Your job is to look for people and minister to them and care for them. And yes, that is absolutely our job. But precious church family, every one of us should show up to church and say, "God, who do you want me to put my arm around? Who do you want me to see and encourage and build up and pray for? God, how can I be an encouragement to the body of Christ today?" Amen. It's all of our calls. I hope you know who you are. I hope you know who God has called you to be. I hope you know who you are. An older lady walked into a small country church and she told the ushers, "I want to sit in the very front row." And the ushers said to her, like maybe someone said to you today, "You don't want to sit in the front." "Oh, I do." "No, you don't. Because that pastor, he goes on and on and on. He's kind of boring. So where you want to sit is in the back, so you can sneak out before he finishes, if he ever does." And this older lady says, "Do you know who I am?" And he says, "I don't." And she says, "I am so offended because I am the pastor's mother." You, Sandy, you understand, you're my pastor's mother. Man, if someone said that about our Rob, you would be so mad. I'd be so mad. So this lady says, "Do you know who I am? I'm the pastor's mother." And that usher said, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "I don't." And he said, "Good." And got out there as quick as possible. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you're called to do? Because every one of us, like the precious women in this room, are called to open up our eyes and say, God, who do you want us to minister to? Who do you want us to come alongside? And we can learn how from Deborah today. How was Deborah able to be a mother for Israel? Well, you mothers that are here, you do what you do, just like Deborah did what she did. There was no choice. You have to do it. And because of it, you're always on. And because you're always on, you have become invaluable to your family and to our church family. But all of us can learn this lesson because, like moms, we need to always be on. Like Deborah, the mother for Israel, like moms all across this sanctuary, all across this nation, we need to always be on. Not physically like they are, but spiritually. Always on, always ready, always on the lookout for what God is wanting to do, on the lookout for dangers to avoid, on the lookout for who we can bless. Church, we need to always be on. You know, I read in this year's budget, they're going to spend $350 million to change the light bulbs in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. $350 million. You say, well, it's a big place. I don't care how big it is. Give me $350 million. I will hightail it to Costco. I'll be done in about a month, and then I'm going to pocket most of it and bless Calvary Vista. Give me the $350 million. I know we can do it better. I know Christians can do it better. But can we? Because how many Christians does it take to screw in a light bulb? Well, it depends on what kind of Christian you are, right? If you're charismatic, only one, because your hands are already in the air. If you're Pentecostal, 10, one to change the light bulb and 9 to rebuke the spirit of darkness. If you're Presbyterian, none, lights will go on and off at predestined times. If you're a Catholic nun, they use candles. If you're a Unitarian, we choose not to make statements either for or against light bulbs. If you are Amish, what's a light bulb? And if you're Baptist, at least 15, one to change the light bulb and 3 committees to approve the change to decide who is going to bring the pasta salad and the fried chicken. And if you've lived in the South like I have, that is such a funny joke. I don't care what you understand. That's how life works out there. Why am I telling you this? Oh yeah, because it costs $350 million to change the light bulbs. You say, well, that's because they go out. Light bulbs always burn out. Not always. Do you know in the great state of California here, at the Livermore Fire Station in Livermore, California, there is a light bulb that is not burnt out since they first installed it, get this, in 1901. If I'm lying, I'm dying. You can check it out. You can Google me. That wasn't true in the 80s. We can do it now. You can, listen, they've got a live webcam where you can watch it and just like, is today going to be the day? Is today going to be the day that poor light bulb is going to go away? Is today going to be the day? It's like waiting for Jesus. Like, is today going to be that day? But the reason this light bulb, world record light bulb, has not gone out in 125 years, they give 2 reasons. One, because they say they made light bulbs better in 1901 than they make them today. Well, of course, we know that. We understand that. But the second reason applies to this study today. The second reason it's lasted for 126 years is because they never turn it off. They never turn it off. The turning off and on, off and on, off and on. It's what makes a light bulb run out quicker. And you see, on Mother's Day, every one of us in this room can learn the spiritual lessons for what most moms do naturally and practically. Mothers are always on. Maybe out of necessity, totally out of love, but mothers are always on. And it's why they are so indispensable to our families. It's why we're so thankful for you moms on this Mother's Day. But we must learn a lesson from this. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to stay on. Because like that light bulb, why do we burn out spiritually? It's because of the on and off, on and off, on and off. Sometimes we're on. Oh, I love church. I love to be here. Can't wait for next Sunday. Oh, there's a Wednesday night study too. Yeah. And we're on. And then, oh, the weather is so nice now that it's spring. I'm just going to take a couple of weeks off. I mean, I can watch it online later. We're reading our Bibles. I love the Bible. I read and pray every single day, and we do it for a day or two or 10. And then we say, well, I'm kind of bored with this now. We turn it off. Oh, how I need to stay fervent in prayers for my family, interceding for their salvation, their well-doing. And we do, and we pray, and we seek the Lord, but then we don't see anything changing. And we think, does this even work anyways? And we turn it off. And this on and off, it causes spiritual burnout in our lives. And what I'm talking about is spiritually, not physically. All of us need some off time physically. God in his word says we need to take one day in seven and rest. It's actually a law of God to take one day in seven and be different. There should be a couple times a year where you get away and just rest and reflect and recharge. That is biblical and amazing. I'm talking about staying on spiritually. We need to stay on spiritually. We can't kick back. We need to constantly take our walk with God seriously. We can't say, I've been doing good for 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 years. Something that has been huge on my heart lately, as I start the second half of my life. You say, the second half? What are you, 48? You're not even middle-aged yet. I would feel so much better if I knew a bunch of 100-year-olds. But in my family, the oldest living relative is 74. That's the oldest they live. So at 48, I'm well into the second half of my life. And here's what has been heavy on my heart of late. Just because I've been through half a life already, I can't take it easy as I go into the second half. You know why? You know this. I learned this from Pastor Rob. 75% of the heroes in the Bible, they fell in the second half of their lives. 75%. And why is that? What's the reasoning for that? Well, I think for some of us, it's because in the latter years, we say, I've put in my time. I know these things. I've read the Bible. I've heard that sermon. I've studied the book of Genesis before. So I'm going to check out. David was in his 50s when he fell with Bathsheba. Why? He did not go out to battle at the time when kings were supposed to go to war. Instead, he stayed home. I've put in my time. I've done that before. I'll just kick back on my rooftop and take it easy and, oh, who's that? Friends that I love with all of my heart. May those of us that have ears to hear, let them hear. May those that think they stand take heed lest they fall. Listen to what Paul told his friend and protege Timothy. He said this, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, he says, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Man, when I hear Paul exhort Timothy, I hope when you hear Paul exhort Timothy, something inside you wells up and says, amen, I've got to be ready in season and out of season. Why? I think because the Lord is coming soon. You look out in our world today, and yes, everything could reassemble again, and it could be 50 years, but I think that's a terrible bet. I think the Lord is coming soon. I think we have a short season to see God set this world and set this state and set this county on fire again for Jesus Christ. I think we have a short window for God to use us in a powerful way in our families. And so we need to be ready. We need to be be ready. And that Greek word ready, it means exactly what we're talking about in our study today. It means to stay on, to not unplug from your active walk with Jesus. Because precious ones, if you do, we have a roaring lion looking for stragglers. Looking for those who say, I don't want to stay up with it. I don't want to be on today. I don't really need to be consistent in my prayers. I don't really need to stay consistent in the word. I don't really feel like being consistent at church. What's the purpose? What's the point? The point is, like Deborah, a mom for Israel in the book of Judges, like moms all over the world, like moms all with us here today, there is so much at stake. Aren't you tired of getting picked off the back of the pack? Aren't you tired of seeing so many fall by the wayside? Then stay ready, in season, out of season. Stay on, like moms do naturally and physically, spiritually. We don't take vacations from Jesus. We don't take vacations from being on with Jesus. Like Deborah, we live in a time that if we don't stay on, then who then is? Who is going to stay on spiritually for your family? Who's going to stay on spiritually for your kids? Who's going to stay on spiritually for this church? Who's going to stay on spiritually for this community? We need to stay ready. We need to stay on. Now, some of you are thinking, man, what a terrible Mother's Day sermon. I came in here today to be encouraged. I came in here today to have people applaud me and give me a little gift and take a photo out in that cool photo set up out in the foyer there. And everything was going so good. And then you started talking. And now I've got more things to do. Don't you understand, Pastor? I already have a lot on my plate. I'm a mom. I have a lot that people are expecting me to do, requirements. And I sit down trying to enjoy a Mother's Day sermon, and it's like, stay on, stay on, stay on. Oh, I can't take it. Listen, in no way today is it my heart to discourage you. Because listen carefully. Listen, how do we stay on as Christians? Jesus told us. He said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. And if you do this list of 1,000 things, that's not what he said. If you make sure you bucket up, buttercup, here's a lot of work to do. That's not what he said. He said, if you abide in me as I abide in you, you shall, not you might, you shall, not as possible, you shall bear fruit. To stay on with Jesus means what we have to do, all we have to do, is abide in Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Here he is, here we are, right there with the Lord. You see, his heart for us is not burdensome. It's not overwhelming. It reminds me of when I first read that lawyer's interaction with Jesus. And the lawyer's saying, what is the most important commandment? 613 of them. What's the most important one? And when I was first reading it, I fully expected what Jesus to say is whatever I was personally struggling with back in the day, back when I was 14 years old. Like I thought he was going to bring up the one thing and I was going to go, yeah, I am a failure. You're right. But you know what Jesus said. Jesus said, the most important commandment is that you would love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Man, I just closed my Bible that day. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I thought, I can do that. I can do that. I can just love you with all that I am. I can just draw close to you with all that I am. I can abide in you. And as you and I are abiding in Christ, staying on by just simply being with Jesus, he will bear the fruit in your life. He will, as he told his disciples, make you become everything he wants you to become. He will help you walk in those good works he already has prepared for you. God has so much for each of us, so much he wants to do. And his word for us isn't burdensome. It's not heavy. It's stay on. Stop, turn it off and on. First service, this awesome man approached me in the foyer. And he said, you know, I used to go here years ago. I used to serve welcoming people at the front door when they would come in. And you know what I did? He said, I flipped off the switch. And I started doing my own thing and going my own way. And I messed up my life 1,000 ways. And God brought me back here on purpose. And I'm telling you, today, that switch is back on. And it's on to stay. And I said, yes! This is what this is all about. All of us here, God's saying today, if the switch is off, flip it back on. God's not mad. He's not upset. Decide, I'm going to abide in Christ. If you're there kind of wiggling in between, stop it. Get your hand off the switch. Keep it on. Stay on with Jesus by simply loving him, abiding with him, staying with him, and letting him make you become every good thing that he wants to do in your life. Amen.